Hey. Good morning, everybody. It's a fantastic day so far. It's so great to be here. I just want to welcome everybody again as we continue to study our theme this year of you, not me. And so this is our theme this year. It is fairly blank right now, but it will be appearing soon. It'd help if my clicker. And so this is our theme this year, you, not me. Trey has done a great job last week talking about how we're going to start this year focusing on prayer. And throughout the year, we're going to focus on a handful of different topics. Prayer is our first quarter. We're going to talk about prepare. We're going to talk about care. We're also going to talk about share and how those topics relate to us. Maybe not particularly in that order, but those are things that we're going to be looking at this year as we talk about you, not me. And so hopefully today, you're going to leave with some things that really help you in your prayer life. I wanted to thank Ben for calling us higher. Oh, that's in a loop. I want to thank Ben Acherico for calling us higher and challenging us with the idea of giving. I felt the thoughts he shared were so meaty in the contribution message. And I know as I was listening to him share, the Acherico family that has such incredible convictions about generosity. Actually, when I came to Baltimore, I got the chance to actually live in their basement and eat all their food, and my goodness, both of them can cook. But they're such a generous family, and they give so much. I've seen it in my life, and so the convictions that he shared about giving, I've seen it, and I've experienced it, and I've seen it in the lives of other people. So I'm so grateful that Ben was able to share that conviction with us and how giving is so important. Ben also wanted to, one of his incredible convictions is his love for the Word of God. And he did want to clear up this idea that although giving is a topic that rivals the topic of love, but that nothing is more important than love, but how important God sees the idea of giving because he mentions it so much in the Scriptures. But again, I appreciate so much Ben, again, calling us higher, calling us to a standard of God's generosity and excelling that great giving. So we appreciate that a ton. But again, welcome to our service this morning. I've had an interesting week. Some of you may have seen me at midweek with a boot on, not like a construction boot, but like one of those awkward boots when you injure yourself kind of boots. It's been an interesting week for me. I was in the ER on Tuesday just to catch everybody up, and I don't know what happened. I was fine. Then at some point in the evening, stepped on it and almost collapsed and don't know what happened. I still don't know what happened, but I was in immense pain for a while until about 3 a.m., couldn't handle it anymore, and then was in the ER for several hours. But I share that because, it's funny in these moments. You know, Faye actually isn't here as well. She's at home feeling well. She's sick, and so I appreciate the thoughts and the care and the prayers that you've shared with me about and your concern for her. She's watching at home. Hi, honey. It's in these interesting moments that you just experience God's love. You know, my wife is past the 7-month pregnant mark, and she's very pregnant, very beautiful. We're very excited. And, I'm in pain on Tuesday night, and, I can't sleep. I'm uncomfortable. And I think just seeing her serve me, it's funny seeing a guy hobbling around trying to serve, a pregnant wife and a pregnant wife, in some way moving around in her fashion, trying to serve me. We're just like this two interesting people trying to outgive each other, and none of us are really in a capacity to really give to each other. But it just made me feel, I just wanted to share there because I felt like, and then coming here and feeling the love, feeling encouragement from the church here, I just want to thank you so much because in our times of need, I feel so much of God's support through you. So thank you so much for that. And it just feels undeserving to have that kind of support. Anyway, so thank you. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, and let's shift our hearts to see what God's going to teach us today about prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your generosity. We thank you for your kindness and your goodness. We thank you for the ways that you take care of us, God. You call us to give, God, because I think you want us to be like you and to experience that kind of generosity, experience that kind of love and connection to people when we give sacrificially, Lord. I thank you so much for the sacrifice that others around me give, God, and the opportunity to sacrifice and imitate you, Father. I thank you so much that you give us a chance to pray to you, to talk to you, and connect to you in a really powerful way, that we have a means of approaching the most powerful and high God. pray that we can build off of what Trey was teaching us last week about that secret life of prayer, and that you teach us more and more, God, about how to talk to you and how to connect to you, Father. I pray that this message meets a very specific need in our lives, God, and it carries us, God, in a way that only you can carry us. We love you. We thank you so much, God. Be with Faye. Help her continue to get better. Help me to figure out the mystery of my foot. And I pray, God, for those who are hurting as well, God. I know that Cherry's still recovering at home, and our prayers go out to her, Father. And I know that there are many here that are going through loss and challenges, or perhaps an empty milk bottle. I'm not sure. But God, help us, God, to find your strength and to be there for those who are in need. We love you, God. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. You know, last week, Trey did such a great job, you know, and I love listening to lessons again. You know, if you get a chance to do that, you know, the lessons are online, the videos are online. We have a great tech team that does a phenomenal job taking care of us. Come on, tech team, that's right. They show up here early and they make things happen. But Trey was talking about the secret life of prayer, the invisibility to ourselves. You know, when he dropped that last week, I was like, wow, like, you know, how in prayer we're to remove ourselves. This mean, when I heard this, for me, not seeing me, not seeing my agenda, my problems, but instead focusing on seeing God. And to be honest, I was a little upset because I was like, oh man, this changes my prayer life. You know, this calls me higher to pray differently. And I appreciate it so much. It helped me so much this week, being incapacitated and humbled for one day, and listening to the doctors. I was just sitting at home with my foot up it just helped me to pray more and connect to God with some of that time. And I think in prayer, pursuing with connection with God rather than clearing the checklist was such a helpful thought for me. You know, and pursuing a partnership rather than pursuing performance. It helped me out so much. You know, and as we look at you, not me, let's continue to read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 15. We wrap up the Lord's Prayer and what that can teach us about prayer. So let's read, starting in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6. It says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins." You know, and as we look at the passage and as we wrap up this portion of Matthew chapter 6, focusing on prayer, it's interesting how this passage, you know, just as a fun fact, this passage, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' really famous and well-known sermon series here, this is smack dab. It's at the center and the heart of what he teaches. You know, the general message as I look through this and as I study through this is this idea that your prayer life needs to match your real life, right? Let me say that again. Your prayer life needs to match your real life. And that's what we're going to be talking about today and how to get those two to merge and become one. You know, at the ending of this, verse 14 and verse 15 really bring perspective and principle home. You know, through this passage, it talks about how there's eternity. It talks about aspects of eternity, but it also talks about aspects that are immediate. It tries to bring those things together. And prayer connects you to God's eternal and divine purpose and his divine need. But somehow his divine purpose, his eternal purpose, has an immediate effect on the outcome in this life. Right? Eternity is happening right now. It doesn't happen merely when we die. And if you aren't living in the blessings of eternity now, then I don't know if you can expect to enjoy the blessings of them later. You know, and what I'm saying, because verse 14 and verse 15 can be challenging. I'm not trying to teach that, you know, where our forgiveness is earned by forgiving, right? But in those two verses, it teaches this principle of how there is an eternity that we experience because of what we're doing right now with the immediate. Does that make sense? You know, and God brings our prayer life into that concept. You know, but that principle applies to gifts in our lives, right? The idea that if God has extended forgiveness, how can we not continue to extend that forgiveness to others around us? All right, and that same principle applies whether it's with any other gift that God gives us, whether it's love. How can we enjoy God's love and yet not turn around and extend God's love to others? right? How can we enjoy mercy, family, love, warmth, anything that God has provided for me and not turn around and provide it for someone else? And of course, lack of forgiveness in this example here is the most gross violation of this principle because of the cost that God gave in terms of his son to give us that forgiveness. And how we in turn can't give, if we can't, we've got to turn around and give that forgiveness back to others. And I think through this passage, we're going to talk about this idea about how our prayer life needs to match our real life. And how we need to practice forgiveness. You know, as we pray for comfort, we need to be comforted. Right? And it's all about aligning with God. And prayer is aligning ourselves with God. And so as we try to match our prayer life with our real life, the idea of aligning ourselves with God, you know, the question is how do we do that? And I think through this passage, it teaches us some powerful ideas. The first idea we're going to talk about today is the power of praise. The power of praise. You know, you look at verse 9 and how as Jesus starts teaching us how to pray. You know, the first half of the prayer, it's interesting. You know, he doesn't teach us to how to dissect hearts. He doesn't teach us, he doesn't go in to talk about, hey, this is how you survey your mind. Or like what Trey was teaching us last week. He doesn't help us to analyze how we talk. You know, the first almost half of this teaching about prayer is all about who God is. There's a power of, there's some power in praising God, right? It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done as on earth as it is in heaven. You know, and as I was studying these, the things that Jesus is asking us to ask for are is very interesting. It's not, we're not really asking for things for ourselves. You know, if you're an English scholar, you know, these were what's called passive imperatives, right? It's not asking for a direct thing, but it's asking for things to be, right? Like God, let your name be holy, right? It's an action, but it's not quite like an action that you can quantify per se, right? Or that's directly coming at you, if that makes sense, right? But all of these are these passive imperatives, and basically what it's doing is it's setting tone, it's describing who God is for the first half of the scripture. And there's something powerful that God wants to connect us with when we pray, and the praise is that connection. Praise connects us to this power. Right? Our Father who is in heaven. I mean, I spent most of the week, on Friday I had to stop. I was like, you know what, I can't keep looking at these four words, our Father in heaven. Right? But there's something really powerful just in those four words. You got to think about it. Our Father who is in heaven. You know, I think we've heard this so much that it's easy for us to not see the significance of this term. Right? But the Old Testament, if you look through the prayers in the Old Testament, God's called many things. But rarely is he called something so intimate as a father. He's called a Lord. He's called the protector. He's called mighty warrior. Right? He's called protector. And these are great titles and names for who God is. But when Jesus started with prayer and said, our Father, he introduced an intimacy, right? A relationship with God that was so different. And this, the structure of this prayer, if you actually study Jewish prayers, prayers that they used in their services, this isn't very different, but it turned the whole prayer on its head when he said, our Father, instead of Lord, right? And he created an intimacy. But at the same time, so this lifts up God in terms of this idea of praising this special relationship that we get to have with God. But it's not just that. There's a juxtaposition of eternity and immediate in this passage. Right? And if you don't see it, it's the word Father in heaven. Right? Somehow God is our Father. He's this intimate person, and we're somehow his children. And at the same time, he is in the heavens. He is all-powerful. He has created the universe. And we get both of those things. And it's so important that our prayer starts with lifting up God for who he is. It reframes how we look at this world. It reframes how things are. You know, Jesus invited people to a shared relationship with God. Not just Father, but our Father. This would mean more once Jesus died and resurrected. He's like, oh my goodness. We get to share with this relationship. This is ours. This is not your Father, this is not my Father, this is our Father in heaven. And there's this powerful connectivity that Jesus was trying to teach us. Prayer is not just our solo act, though it may happen in the privacy and the secrecy of our homes. It brings us together in this very special family of God. It also connects us to his everlasting and powerful all of the qualities that the Old Testament talked about who God is, right? It's interesting because as we hear these titles, I don't know about you, sometimes I can hear titles like protector, mighty, perfect. And some of it, sometimes it brings comfort, but sometimes it brings insecurity, right? Because what am I to do with the perfect Father? I don't know perfection. What am I to do with the almighty and the all-powerful? I am weak, right? But Father changes how we talk to God. That address, that term, that connection, that intimacy, that closeness, and the nearness, it blows our minds. He is our Father. There's tenderness there and power at the same time, and an incredible tension. And the next phrase is, hallowed be your name. It's interesting because the English and the Greek structure of the grammar doesn't, it's hard to reconcile, but in the Greek, it's more set apart your name as holy, right? It actually leads in with the verb, right? Make your name holy. And in doing that, what Jesus was trying to teach was, he was trying to manifest God's holiness. God, set yourself apart. Make yourself different. Show the world. That's what that prayer is. God, show the world how different you are than anything else. Make yourself that way. That's what that prayer is asking, right? Right? It's like, because there's so many things in our lives that try to be imposters of power, right? That try to intrude in our lives and try to dominate our lives and take over God's throne, right? And that prayer says, you know what? God, show these things. Show them what's up, right? It's like when you see something that's done really bad and you're like, no, let me show you how it's done, right? It's like when somebody tries something and it's a great play and like, let's say for football, man. And you're like, oh man, that had so much potential to be something good, but you know what? He just dropped it. So close. This prayer is like that feeling, right? This prayer is like, let me show you how it's done. Let me show you how to play this play. That's what God is, that's what this prayer is teaching. If you weren't familiar with that feeling, that's the feeling we're talking about there. The completion, the success, the real deal, right? Come on. I'm not an Eagles fan, but that was an incredible play. You got to listen to the sound bites of the Super Bowl. Even the Patriots players at the end was, oh, that was good. I'm serious. Their players, they probably didn't, I mean, they probably forgot they were being mic'd, but they're like, oh, that was a good play. They drew that up really well. The guy in silence was like, oh man, what do we do? I mean, that's what we're inviting God into our life for, though. The real man, I'm not inviting a blunder. I'm not inviting a possibility. I'm inviting the certainty of victory into my life. Hallowed be your name. Set your name apart. Show the world who you are. I received a meme this week. I still hang around the singles group me because I love the energy of the singles. I love their connectivity. Come on, singles. We have singles in the house. And in the singles group me, I think it was Angie who sent this meme out. This is a little bit different rendition of it. But I think this is what it is to say, hallowed be your name. Tell the mountain about your God. This refers to the scripture, right? You know, you tell the mountain to move and it'll move. But I think a lot of times, hallowed be your name doesn't show up in prayers. You know what we talk about? We'd be hallowed be our problems, right? Man, our problems are so bad. And we talk about the problem, talk about the issues. We talk about the mountain. But I saw this and I was like, yes, I'm gonna tell that mountain who my God is. Are you telling that mountain who your God is? Is God's name holy? Does the mountain shake? Ooh, God. He's talking about God again, right? Mufasa, right? You guys are all thinking it. I tried to change it, but you brought it back. Show the mountain, tell that mountain who your God is. This is what Jesus is trying to teach us about our prayer. And don't fix on your problems, fix on God. Who is God? Tell that mountain about your God. Set your name apart. Show the world that the promises, the false gods of money, success, finances, intellectual achievement, sensuality, self-indulgence, tell those things about your mighty God and what he can do. Again, the prayer is inviting reconciliation again, right? About the immediate, our struggles, our challenges, and the eternal God, and bringing that together. You see that happening in this prayer, right? With me, I hope I'm not getting too technical about grammar and Greek, right? I withheld from putting the Greek on the screen this time. But it goes on, it talks about your kingdom come. You know, again, it leads in with the verb in the Greek. It says, bring your kingdom. God, bring it. Show me your kingdom. Show me your power. Show me your will. And again, reconciling that tension of now and forever, right? And the prayers bring those together. It brings eternity into our lives. Though our lives are temporary and momentary, this prayer brings eternity into our lives. On earth as it is in heaven. You know, these praise, I mean, the teens, we got together yesterday for a teen devotional. We talked about the power of praise. And praise is about making God feel better. Like Ben was saying, God's not poor, right? Like, he's not looking for money because he's trying to get like a value meal today. Right? The giving's actually for you. The praise is actually for you. And when you see God the right way, your problems shrink down to the right size. Conquerable. You can overcome them. Praise reminds us of who God is in our lives. It invites promise to manifest itself in our sight, in our being, in our day-to-day. You know, but this kind of prayer, I can understand why this prayer is hard. You know, I appreciate the teens. In such a young stage, so many of them are pursuing a relationship with God. And if you're pursuing a relationship with God in your teen years, and your campus years, there's so many things pulling at you. As you're trying to form your identity, as you're trying to form, you know, finish developing your brain. Your brain doesn't even work right. People are trying to dupe you about things. Seriously, it isn't. Your brain's not formed right until like 25. For some of us, like for me, it was probably like 35. My brain is just getting done. But there's so many things pulling at you. You know, and I think this would be hard because it's always easier said than done, right? To invite eternity into your life. But this can be a very difficult thing to do. Right? But I want to encourage you, if you're struggling, if you're trying to figure out how to build that relationship with God and you feel stuck, if you feel like this is I'm having a hard time getting it, I just encourage you that just like any other relationship that you invite into your life, it takes time. Keep praying, keep inviting it in. Right? For sure, one thing won't happen if you don't invite a friend in. You won't make a friend. But as you invite God into these moments of your life, as you continue, right, to pray, as you continue to connect with God, don't worry about how you're not connecting. Don't worry about what you don't get. But focus on connecting with who God is, right? Because I think it's so easy to fix on, you know, get baptized. So easy to get fixated on, you know, I'm going to study the Bible, but instead to fix and to focus on, let me connect with who God is. If you can focus on that, everything else comes together, right? If this is where you are, if you're stuck, you know, friendship and faith, both are journeys that can't be executed on paper. They can't be executed sitting down in a library, in a room. They're executed in real life practice. If you feel stuck, get into a Bible study. Pull someone aside. Study the Bible with me. Show me who God is. Sit in a Bible discussion. Pray with somebody. Serve the poor, right? In these moments, you get to experience God. When you go into these things, look for God. And recognize his power and find things that you can praise. Serve the poor. Serve the rich. I mean, serve the middle class. Serve somebody. But as you do these things, as you sacrifice, you'll start experiencing God. And as you share your life with Christ, as you allow him to influence one decision after another, I promise his character will be revealed in your life. And as we grow in recognizing God and praising him, it'll help us to have access to that power. But there's power in praise. And we've got to learn how to praise. Right? And the reasons why I'm inviting you to these experiences, because I think sometimes we don't have access to the power that comes through praise, because I think we have a hard time praising God in prayer. And we have a hard time telling God, you know, you're awesome, you're amazing. We did this yesterday. We practiced praise. And everyone who, and I picked teens, and I just lifted them. I told them what was great about them. I told them what I loved about them, what inspired me about them. And I asked them how they felt, and they're like, I feel awkward. Right? All right, I was trying to encourage you, and the answer is, I just feel uncomfortable right now. It's like, you feel anything else? I feel good too, but I feel really uncomfortable, right? But that's normal, right? They're not weird for feeling that, but I think sometimes we feel weird lifting people up. We feel awkward being the encourager of God. But I think sometimes that happens because we don't know how to encourage each other. The encouragement and the praise that we use for each other affects the praise that we use for God. You have a hard time praising God. Investigate in your life, do I praise other people? Do I find reasons to tell people, man, you're amazing? And to not use superlatives like, you're the best, or you're the coolest, right? I mean, that's just a lazy encouragement. And if you do that, if that's all you got, I apologize for discrediting your encouragement, but we got to find more specific ways to lift each other up, to be able to point out, man, I really appreciate when you do this, to take note of the special things, to see when people are new and tell them, hey, I really appreciate you. Hey, thanks for coming out. We got to take the time to encourage, to lift up, to know what's great about our friendships, right? And not be friends merely out of proximity, right? But really be able to encourage one another. I want to see the smiles of encouragement this week. And I hope you're able to do that as well as other people take on this charge. But there's power in praise. If you have a hard time praising God, let's praise each other, and that will grow as well. Amen? Let's keep on moving here. Let's wrap it up. You know, the next thing I want to talk about, and that this scripture teaches, is that in prayer, we need to pursue His purpose. In prayer, we need to pursue His purpose. And as we look again at the second half of this passage, it says, forgive us our debts. We have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, right? And as it talks about forgiving us our debts in verse 12, that connects to what it talks about in verse 14 and verse 15. It's a consideration toward heaven and salvation. The debt of our sin, right, affects the consequence of eternity. But we're asking for the immediate effects of it now in this prayer, aren't we? Forgive us our debts. There's the benefits of salvation can happen today, right? But we've got to consider the eternity. We've got to consider God's purpose for our lives. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later as we wrap this up. The next verse says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Right? Rescue us. Protect us. The goal of resisting evil, the goal of fighting temptation is a focus again on the eternity with God. There's an intimacy, and if you think about saying, you know, lead us not into temptation. We're asking for God's leadership. Asking in this prayer, Jesus is teaching us, you've got to ask God and you've got to give God control over your temptation. Right? But what is temptation? Isn't temptation your desire? Right? I wish I could tell you that my temptations are things that other people have put in my head. Right? I would be a righteous person if that were so, but I'm not. And your temptations are your desires. Temptations are, unfortunately, the things that you want to do and you know you feel like you know that you shouldn't. But this prayer then invites God to take control of your desire. Now that's a tricky thing. We're talking about like controlling the inmost, deepest things that you want. You're asking God to be a part of that. You're asking God to lead you not towards these things, to lead you somewhere else. I don't know about you, but that's incredibly intimate to let God do that and not let me be in control of my own desire. Right? But what these things, as we talk about these things together, is that it's God's not concerned about your agenda. And if you think you misheard me, God is not concerned about your agenda. I'm not trying to say that God doesn't care about you, right? But He has a great purpose that He wants to show you. And His purpose shows you an agenda that's truly what you desire, what you truly want. But I think our desires should get in the way of our own desires. And I'm going to try to explain that a little bit more here. But allowing, what we're doing in these prayers is these prayers teach us to invite every realm of our life. Allowing His control into every area of who we are, our plans, our purpose, our daily sustenance. God, be in control of that. Right? Our love, right? Because forgiveness deals with how we withhold and how we give love. Our desires and dreams. You know, prayer is about aligning with God's purpose in this life. Right? Prayer is about aligning with God's purpose, not our agenda. And that, I think that can be a troubling and a challenging thing for us in a society where we can worship independence. And we can worship our individuality. And what I'm asking isn't for conformity, for all of us to be the same, but to entrust God with our whole life. You know, prayer puts you in touch with the endless love and God's dream for you. You know, there's a thought that came across me as I was studying this out, and I think through this passage, I see this happening. God's forever starts in the now of prayer. Right? God's forever starts in the now of prayer. And prayer is this really, it's this beautiful, like almost, it's a ballet, it's a dance where there's power and poise, but on the tippy toes, right? Dancing around with elegance, but such force at the same time. And it brings God's power in our life in an incredible way because it's immediate. It's ephemeral, right? It's a transient, but at the same time, it connects to something eternal. And that's what we're inviting into our life through prayer, God's purpose. Because at the end of the day, God invites his purpose because his purpose is eternal. His purpose has power, and his purpose has promise that can fulfill. And the challenging thing about our agenda is that it seems to be God, but it cannot fulfill. It cannot provide the promise that it claims in your life. And God doesn't take away your agenda because he's harsh or he doesn't care about you, but because he provides his agenda because he knows his agenda can provide the promise you're looking for. What God is asking is for your willing surrender of everything. That's in this prayer. That's what he's asking for. Control all areas of your life. He's not asking for anything. The funny thing is we may resist this, but he's not asking for anything different than the things that are already any things in your own life right now. There are other gods. There are other things in your life that claim to be gods. Think about it. How can you tell that they claim to be God? Well, they're unyielding. They dictate who your friends will be, whether you will show up or not. They tell you what's important, right? They tell you where to live. They tell you we're talking about things like success. Success will dictate what job we take, right? It dictates sometimes our morals and our ethics and how we achieve success. It tells us how to live. And it claims God's throne in your life if you're not faithful. Romance. Man, romance can take the throne. Romance can claim to be God, right? And we can call romance love, but we have to be careful because sometimes, because then God is love, right? And so we can easily be like, well, if it's love, it's different. But is it love or is it just romance? Right? Because romance tells us I'm going to give up everything. Romance tells us that I must sacrifice everything. It starts sounding like the Bible, doesn't it? And lordship in your life. And there are good things like family or even money. Recognition, individuality. These things can claim God in your life. And these things can be good and sometimes they benefit. But when they stand compromise or unrelenting expectations in your life, actually reveal themselves. And if you're around long enough, these false gods reveal themselves to not be gods at all, but demons. And some of us have gone full circle and realized the destructive power of these things in our life when we submit to them. And what God asks is, you know what? Don't surrender to these things. Surrender to me because you can trust me. Surrender to me because I will give my life for you. You mean these demons, starving and destructive, they reduce you and they never replenish. You think about it. When you achieve success, you don't just stop. You have to keep succeeding. There is no stop to success. And if you've worked in the executive world, you know about this. If you've been in school and you've gotten great grades, you know about this. I got an A. All right, I'm done. Nope. Welcome to 4 more years of that, or maybe 5. Right? And then when you're done with that, welcome to, evaluations and reports. And it never ends. You've constantly got to succeed more and more. And if this becomes your God, it will destroy you. Romans is the same way. You think serving somebody, pouring yourself out, it fulfills, it satisfies. But at some point, if that becomes your God, man, we make, and this phrase has been heard many, many times, we make awesome husbands and wives, but we make horrible gods. We are never satisfied. And any satisfaction that these gods provide are replaced with just a hunger for more. And God sees this. I think too many of us may worship things like our differences. And you're like, what? Our differences can be our gods, right? You're different than me, so I don't want to talk to you. You don't know what it's like to go through what I go through, so you know what? We're not going to be friends. And it dictates who we talk to. And it tells us where we're going to be. And it tells us how we're going to treat other people. You know, differences, individuality, independence. These things can be good, but when they become our gods, I think our ideals, that's a lot of vowels, our ideals become gods in our lives. Organization, timeliness, efficiency somehow can trump love and family, right? Story of my life, functionality is God. right? It's gotta work the right way. Even if no one's with me, gotta work. And it doesn't make any sense. Particularity becomes paramount. Specifics become supreme. Method becomes Messiah. And we think, well, you know what? I'm upholding the standard of excellence. Are you? How did God uphold the standard of excellence? Did he not come down to you and find you in your imperfection? And how can we hold our standard so high as to leave other souls around us behind? Amen. Praise God for the way that he shows us. God's provision in your life spanned a great distance and a great difference to reach you. Therefore, the provisions in your life, in turn, you need to span that great distance and reach others around you. We've got to be that way. I'm so excited about us regionalizing because it gives us more opportunity to come to a service. And you know what? I can't go in and out of this meeting without someone noticing me, right? And being noticed. It gives us this opportunity to span the difference, to know everyone's name, to really impact and reach every soul that comes through these doors and love people. Man, it's such an incredible opportunity. I'm so excited about how God will use you in these times. You know, I think for me, if we're not careful, these gods brainwash us. They take over. And in these moments, I came and I was like, God, pray, help me not forget who you are in every moment. I think in my business of trying to get service started and getting my head wrapped around notes, I'm tempted to allow my anger and my functionality to speak to you a certain way. I let it drive. I let it take control of my life. And as people come up and ask me questions, I want to tell them, you know what, it's not important right now. I appreciate so much the men in my life who have helped me with this. There are times where people come up to me in service and be like, you know what, I'm helping with this. And I've actually said to them, you know what, I can't help you with that right now. I'm doing something really important. But I've said it a lot better than that, you know? And to the point where the other person's like, oh, bro, I totally get you. I totally see that, man, you're doing something really important. Let me go figure something else out. And I appreciate a moment where a brother pulled me aside and said, bro, you know what? I didn't know how to help out the situations, but you know what I did? I went up to that person and said, you know what? I don't know what to, but let's go figure this out together. And I was so convicted that God was God in that brother's life. It never left him. But I think there are times, even in church, God stops being God in life. And there are these things that they become God. They take over and so for some of us, they creep up behind us without us knowing. And all of a sudden we turn around and, whoa, you're not God. And anger takes over in my life and it causes me to snap and it causes me to lash out. It causes me to say snide things. It causes me to lift myself up more importantly than I am. Right? I can tell that my anger becomes God because it expects swift judgment when things are not done correctly. And it says, you know what? You need to talk to that brother. You better rebuke that guy. And look, and I'm like, and part of me will almost be like, yes, I do, because that brother offended me. So I'm gonna go rebuke him. Right? But then I look back and I'm like, and I can see the demon that has taken the seat of God because I can see it in the brother's face once I rebuke him. And I see, like, you know what? There's something going on because he's reflecting me right now. And I can see the demons take over in my life. And I don't know about you, but these false gods, the satisfaction is temporary, but it's only replaced with you know, these things demand our service. They are enslave us in this life. But if you're going to be enslaved to anyone, if you're going to surrender to anyone, surrender to God. This is my request for you. This is how I beseech you. If we're going to surrender, let us surrender to God who will die for us, who humbles himself every day waiting for our reply, who sacrifices everything for the one, for you. Prayer is our connection to eternity. It is our bridge to heaven. Forever starts in the now of prayer. You know, because you know, as we wrap up, prayer is just a closing thought. You know, if you needed a title for this lesson, you can write that down. But this is the idea. Prayer is this powerful thing that God is bringing into our lives. He's bringing eternity in our lives. Prayer is where heaven meets earth, where God connects with man. Prayer is where heaven meets earth and where God connects with man. You know, prayer is all about aligning ourselves with this eternity, with this endless power, with this endless love. You know, and if you're exploring faith today, or if you've known Jesus for years and years, what I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking us to pray, not to get through that checklist, not to tell God what to do, but to praise Him, to tell Him how amazing He is, to connect to who God is in your life. I think for some of us, this is a challenge. And I think for some of us, this is really hard. For some of us, this may be victories. And we can recount the victories. Every time, there are faces in here where I look at your face and I think, wow, you are a victory in my life. And it reminds me of God's presence here. And if you're coming here for the first time, if you're coming back, or if you're if you've come back every Sunday, man, I encourage you to pray and remind yourself of the victories of God in your life, to praise Him, to praise what you know about God. Let the memories and victories reframe your perspective. But if you haven't been with victory in a while, now sometimes that happens, right? We have life and it goes on and some things happen, and some of us, it's challenging. We haven't experienced victory in a while. Maybe it's our fault, maybe it's not. But it's hard to remember, man, when's the last time I had a victory? You know, the great thing is, as you look around, there are people who can share their victories with you. The powerful thing about God is, again, that He is not your God, He is not my God, He is our God. And if you are a person, if you're hurting today, right? And if you feel like, man, I victory is out of my reach, there are men and women in here who have victories they can share with you. They have memories of God's power in their lives that they can share with you. You know, if you're a family group leader, I'd like just to ask you to stand so we can honor you for a minute. The family group leaders, you're in the room. Can you stand for just a moment? Let's give it up for our family group leaders. I want you guys to remain standing for just a moment. I'm not lifting up the family group leaders. You can grab a seat. I'm not lifting up them because, you know, I'm just trying to stroke their egos, or don't be nervous too. I'm not also not putting you on the spot, but I'm lifting you up because these are the men and women who have taken spiritual responsibility for your soul. There are people in their areas, in their region, that they said, you know what, in my neighborhood, in my area, I'm going to do my very best to serve the needs of the people around me. And if you're short on victory, take a look around on those people. Find one of those family group leaders and tell them, I need a victory. And they will help you, not because they know more, not because they're more spiritual, not because they're better off than you, because you know what? They're going to pray with you until you find a victory. They're going to take a stand in your life, and they're going to help you. They're not going to focus on your problems, but they're going to focus on who God is in their life. Because I promise you, they've seen victory, and they're going to bring it to your life as well. Prayer is where heaven meets earth, where God connects with man. Just like God's reminder that forgiveness needs to be poured out as it's poured into us, so will all God's blessings pour out of you as we grow deeper and deeper in our prayer life with God as it pours into us. So I pray that we find the endlessness of heaven in our lives. I pray that we find connection with God as we grow more and more in praising Him and pursuing purpose in our lives. Amen. Amen.